Hello, and welcome back to Secrets in Nature. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Lexi. And we just celebrated our 1 year podcast anniversary on 2/22/2022.
Yep.
How magical is that?
It was very magical. That means we started on 2/22. We didn't even know.
Yes, we posted our first episode last year on February 22nd. You can't find it now.
Oh, yeah.
It has since been unpublished. We're keeping it in existence to listen back ourselves one day, but the public can no longer access it.
Yeah, it was our first one. We did our best.
Yes, we do our best every day, but our best back then was not the same as our best today. But obviously, we did not plan to have our 1 year mark fall on such a magical day. But if that's not a good sign, I don't know what is. So
yeah, it means we're on the right path.
I agree.
Do you have any other updates? Anything fun happened to you this week?
Yes, I have two stories to share. Do you have any?
No, this week has been stressful and I can't wait for it to be over.
Okay, well, here are some stories to distract you. My first story I have to tell. I told you this already. I need to stop telling Rachel things that I would like to say on the podcast so I can get more of an authentic reaction out of her. I've said this before. I need to start doing it. But anyway, I have this tarot card necklace. I got it in New York City. It was like a whole booth full of all different tarot card necklaces. And I just picked the one that spoke to me. And it was the Empress. And if you listened to our episode last week, we talked all about our Vedic astrology birth chart readings that we got done. And it was all about how I'm a Taurus rising in Vedic astrology. And then I just watched an astrology video and Taurus as a sign is associated with the Empress archetype in tarot. And I had no idea of that. So I just thought it was really adorable that that is the one that spoke to me.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then my other story, really quick. My mom told me this story and she told me to share it on the podcast and I really couldn't not. It's such a cute story. So I told a story about my great grandmother on the podcast before. I didn't tell you this story yet, so maybe I'll get a good reaction out of you. But we called her Nanny. Like I said, my mom and her were very close before she died. So my mom was on a work trip recently within the last couple weeks and she was in a car with her coworker talking about like her family and specifically talking about my nanny and Pop, her husband, and it was their anniversary. And my mom was like talking about how like it was their anniversary and da 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 da. And the woman like made a comment like, oh, like you're really into your family. Like I don't even know my grandparents' anniversary. And my mom was like, yeah, I am. And then right in that moment, a truck drove by and it was Jenny's flowers. And my nanny's name was Jenny.
Aww.
And it was spelled exactly the same as she spelled it. Because like, how would you spell Jenny? Like usually with a Y, right?
Yeah.
Like she spelled it J-E-N-N-I-E. And it was like very specific. And people spelled it wrong all the time. So this truck drove by spelled exactly the same. And it was Jenny's flowers.
Aw, that's cute. I also don't know my grandparents' anniversaries.
Me either. I just thought that was such a sweet story. And I love to tell about a good synchronicity. So
yeah, I love stories like that. I don't think I have any where like I feel like someone was giving me a message from the beyond.
Yeah, I don't have that personally, but I'm sharing the story on behalf of somebody else.
I actually thought of a story. It's kind of funny.
Let's hear it.
So this week I was out back with my cat and like my dogs because it was really nice out. It was like 60 degrees one day. And I don't know why, but my cat just started chasing the Frisbee every time I threw it for my dog, like all the way across the yard. Like she would chase this thing. And she was so good at it that she actually like the one time I have it on video. I should post it as a reel. It's so funny. She's running.
Didn't you post it on TikTok?
Yeah.
I saw it.
Oh, isn't it funny?
Well, you have to finish the story for people that didn't see it. Okay,
she's running to get the Frisbee. I guess, I don't know what she was thinking, but she ran right into it. Like, it smacked her right in the face. And she was, like, stunned. And then she was terrified and, like, wanted to go back inside.
Aw, poor Roxy.
And I felt so bad. But it's so funny. I have like a slow motion video of her because she's really fat. So it's just funny watching her run in slow motion.
If you love cat videos, Rachel has plenty of them on her TikTok.
That's because Roxy's so funny. She's a funny girl.
I'm going to link your TikTok in the show notes.
Okay.
You post on there pretty frequently.
Yeah, I haven't really posted on there much. I should post more Roxy videos. She's just too cute.
Give the people what they want, and they want to see Roxy.
I know.
And they is me.
Okay, so we had such a great interview this week. We interviewed the Alchemical Sisters,
Kristen and Lisa.
Okay, so they're business owners in South Jersey, and we had such a great convo. We talked about so many things.
Oh my gosh, this interview was everything I hoped for and more. We talk about Wim Hof, cold plunges, breath work, auras, yoga. The capabilities of our meat suits. And I've said that word before on the podcast, but Kristen actually brought this word up herself, which I love. We talked about like what the meaning of certain words.
Yeah, witches.
We got into it. Yes. Oh my gosh, we're having them back on to talk witches. But most importantly, we talked about what it means to be the alchemist of your own life experience. And honestly, they put into words what that means so beautifully.
Yeah. We might even be doing a cold plunge with them.
Yes, they invited us.
I'm looking forward to that.
Are you?
Yes.
You got a little nervous at the end of that interview when they invited us.
So we don't want to keep you waiting any longer.
So let's get into the interview. Well, welcome the Alchemical Sisters. Am I saying that right?
You are, yes.
So with your shop, when it first opened, I was saying in my head, like the Alchemical Sisters. And I was like, that's not a word. My brain was like running through the word, but the Alchemical Sisters.
Yeah, I was saying it wrong too. And I was like,
yeah, you're not the only one.
No,
people get it confused all the time.
Yeah.
I love the name. I can't wait to dive into the name of your shop. But please tell us about the two of you. You guys are sisters. Mm-hmm. And what inspired you to open the shop to begin with?
Oh my gosh. You want to take that? Yeah. So I think we both have yoga backgrounds. We both have an interest in bringing the things that we love to the people that we love. We're always like, you know, trying to tell people about this thing that we did and that thing that we did and this product that we like and that product that we like. So I think it kind of came together in that it wasn't like, let's open a shop and then we can do that. I think it kind of naturally, organically just sort of melded into that. So through the pandemic, I have a yoga studio down the street and had to kind of close it down through that period of time and wasn't really doing group classes anymore. So we were trying to figure out what to do with the space. And so through that, we had like little pop-up shops where we made our own smudge mixes and bath salts and different things. We had some crystals left over from like a big crystal shop that happened at one point. And so there was some things that we wanted to sort of get out into the world. And so we opened it as a pop-up shop December of 2020. And next thing we knew, the space opened up and we were like, okay, universe, we hear you. And so we just kind of jumped into it. Definitely. Yeah. Kristen has a retail background and I was looking for a way to get out of my corporate job sooner than later.
Right.
Really?
So I had been worked in corporate for, you know, 17 years and it was just getting, I had actually left and came back because when I left, I didn't have a plan of what I was going to do. So I learned this time to have a plan. So started the business before I left. And yeah, it's been really great to kind of bring both of our strengths together. And I always knew I wanted to be more creative than I was being before in my other career. And so it's been really fun to like bring that creativity through and curate our different lines and be able to bring in products that our friends make and then really sell that to people because we know how much love goes into those products. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Yeah, just trying to resonate the good vibrations out as far as we can. Yeah.
Absolutely. You carry Mystic Ginger products, which yeah. I love. I love Kelly so much. So your shop is called the Alchemical Sisters. It's in Pittman, New Jersey, which mm-hmm. lucky for us, we grew up like 10 minutes from Pittman. Yeah. And there's really not many shops like it on that street. Mm-hmm. Like when my mom and I were in there, mm-hmm. she was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen a store like this on Broadway like this. So please tell us, how would you describe your shop to somebody who's never been there?
you know, we, it's like people,
we struggle with,
we've
that,
been, yeah,
sure,
come, trying to come together with our elevator pitch for so long, but I think, you know, it's really just products that help you elevate your life. And that's why our hashtag is Elevate Your Life. So, you know, it's, we try to carry as many things that, you know, don't have toxins in them, and they're more pure and clean, and, you know, crystals, we love crystals and getting crystals out into the world. That definitely is going to elevate your life and elevate your space. Yeah. And then kind of some humor in there too, right? Mm-hmm. Like we don't want to take ourselves too seriously. So like we carry prayer candles with like Beyonce and
Taylor
Swift and right. Harry Styles and, you know, all of that. And, but it's funny because you can really use those things to kind of like bring into your practice, because you can, what do you like about that person? And then what do you want to bring about that person into your life? So it's like, you know, it's kind of like backdoor ways of getting spirituality and like elevating your life,
right?
Like throughout the products that you buy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Making it a little more like not necessarily obvious. You know, it's like if you have a crystal in your house, that might be obvious, but if you have a Harry Styles candle, it could be because you love Harry Styles or because you love what he represents and like how he doesn't really, you know, follow gender norms and stuff like that. So we want to like create.
We could have a whole conversation about Harry Styles if you want.
I'm here for that. Definitely.
We just saw him in October in concert. Yeah. Oh,
that's great.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so excited when I saw your store there. When did you open? Was it 2020 or 2021?
Just last year in 2021, April. Yeah. Yeah, we're coming up on a year anniversary.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was so excited because like there's not many stores around in South Jersey where you can buy stuff like that. So besides like going to Philly, which I never do because it's a hassle. So I was like, oh my God, I can buy crystals in a store. That's so
exciting. Not many crystal shops around Washington Township for sure.
Right. No, definitely not.
So have you had people come in, and I don't want to make a generalization, but I, in that area, there's a lot of, there's not a lot of that, as we said. So have you had people come in and like, have you seen like a shift, like maybe like spark an interest that maybe they didn't have before from coming into your shop? Or do you think it's like, it kind of draws people like us that are already super into it?
I think it's a combination. Yeah. Sure. I mean, I think like, number one, TikTok has really been helpful in a lot of ways, not necessarily for us, because we literally have like one video on TikTok, maybe, if we even posted it, we're in our 40s, we're working it out, right? So, but I do think that like the fact that people pay attention to TikTok and like really get a little bit of information from that, they're like, okay, I want to know more about rose quartz and amethyst and pyrite, right? So they come in and then they're able to then say, oh my God, there's so many more crystals than just rose quartz, amethyst and pyrite. And then we can kind of help people and guide them and, you know, say like, hey, what crystal resonates with you? And then people can be a little bit more, but then we're also open for guys like you who are like, oh my God, there's a space and I can like get there so quickly. And now I can like pick up this, you know, larva kite that I've been looking for or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's definitely a combination of both.
Yeah. It's like people will come in shopping for gifts for their friends because they know their friends are starting to get really into crystals and natural healing and whatever it is. And so they'll be like, so this is what she said, but what about this? So you can tell they're kind of asking for themselves. Right, yeah. So it helps to support their curiosity and like a safe space too.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I got her your birthday present there.
Nice.
I think I got like a really cute card and then I got the gua sha.
Oh yes. The face.
It was a green.
Yeah, the gua sha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just restocked gua sha too.
They're a little different this time, but yes. Yeah.
Wait, so that's where you got that stone.
Yeah.
I like need to know how to use it. I need tips. Do you have any tips for me?
For gua sha?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this one over here for sure. She teaches me how to do the gua sha.
Well, not that I'm any expert. I'll say I'm not an esthetician. All of this is like, you know, I'm not an expert, but I did
experience.
During the pandemic, you know, anything happens during the pandemic when you're in quarantine, right? So like this was early 2020. We had just been locked down. And I found this woman on Instagram who actually is an esthetician in like London or England somewhere. And she was saying that she'll do tutorials. You just have to buy a gua sha and then you get the tutorial. So I bought a gua sha from her and we did a tutorial. And so she kind of taught me how to do it. So, I mean, basically the whole thing is just, you know, kind of like hold your skin in place and then you want to move the energy and like you're clearing out your lymph nodes, you're clearing out like
the layers of skin underneath. So clearing out the toxins. So you just want to like kind of move it to your jawline and you do like a little wiggle. I could explain more, you know, I could show you, how about when you come in the shop? I'll
give yes, you please do. So it's also like an intention, like.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's an energetic practice just as much as it's a physical practice, which is, you know, what a lot of the things that we do, we bring in the energetic into it as well. So yeah, but you're clearing out toxins and it's also, you know, great for anti-aging and all good stuff.
So you guys also, I have seen on your Instagram, do like workshops, it looks like. Is that what you call them? Like workshops?
Yeah, sure.
I just recently saw the cold plunging workshop. Was that like behind your building? Like where did you do that?
Yeah,
exactly where we did it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So when I first ran into you guys, me and my mom were in your store and we were just browsing and you had a girl in the back and I was like, what is she doing? And I think it was Kristen was like, oh, she's taking aura photos. And I looked at my mom and I was like, does she want to be on my podcast? And you were like, well, you could interview me. And I just was like, they're taking aura photos behind, but in the back of the shop. I like go on your Instagram. I look at all the other things you guys do. It's so much more than just like you sell product. And then when you mentioned like, oh, have me on the podcast. And I was like, oh, wait, what would you want to talk about? And you mentioned cold plunging. And in my head, I had like the polar bear plunges that people do like at the Jersey Shore. But like literally you were like behind the shop, we get an ice bath and people come and they do it. So please tell us about that.
So it's actually, we brought a, these two guys that come in there, they call themselves Ignite Sadhana and they work with the Wim Hof method. So Wim Hof is, if you've ever heard of him, he is a man who has many, many records for being able to sit outside in cold weather, being able to sit in cold water for long periods of time. And it's through the breath that he practices and teaches, and then through the ice or the bath, the cold water exposure. Mm-hmm. So with that, we wanted to bring that in because the other thing that we do here is all the elevating of your life is not just, like you said, about the products. It's about the other things that you can do. And we have a lot of people that we're connected to because we're in the yoga world. So we have like all these experts that we kind of know. And this is something that we practiced for probably the past year, I would say. And we wanted to bring that and expose other people to this thing that's so valuable for your nervous system function, for everybody's walking around emoting on each other and feeling anxious, and this can help with that. And it can start with just as simple as like cold showers, but we wanted people to like, we're the type of people that were like, okay, jump in 2 feet, let's just do it. Yes. So yeah,
in
so
the winter.
And you it's literally like a big feed tub of like it's clean and nice and lovely. It's I think 50 to 100 gallons, and you fill it up with water, you fill it up with many bags of ice, so the ice, like, it's, you know, a nice cold drink on a nice hot day, except for you're going in.
It's cold and cold.
You're going in and it's already 20 degrees outside.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. How long do people stay in normally?
Average they recommend is to go beyond at least 2 minutes. So like within your first 2 minutes, because when you first sit down, you're like, you know, you get that like where you lose your breath kind of feeling, and it feels your body is going into the fight or flight. So it's like your body is starting to protect itself by taking these deep breaths. But beyond, it takes typically between 1 to 2 minutes to be able to calm yourself down. And then once you're calm, you're like, oh, okay. And it's still cold. The cold is still, you still feel it, but you're able to notice the sensations that you're feeling instead of being in that panic mode where you're trying to like get out of the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, right. So instead of panicking, you're trying to get your body into a place of relaxation.
So do you do breath work before you jump in the ice bath or while you're sitting in there, or is it all just incorporating the breath work?
Yeah. The way that Ignite Sadhana like arranges the workshop that they run, they'll have, first of all, they do like an introduction and then they walk you through the breath work, which is a series of like hyperventilation, basically, like you're breathing in and out, in and out, in and out. And then you do suspension, and they're the experts. They could explain it better, but you do the breath work for, I think it's about a half hour before you go in, then you get changed into, you know, your bathing suit and whatnot. And then you're dipping.
Right.
And there's also horse stance, which they do to kind of like, you like to warm up your core. So it's like, whew,
whoo, ha. So it's like you're bringing in the breath to heat yourself up in a different way, like before you dip. And then also after you dip, it's really important to do it to get your, you know, everything
back
flowing
to your extremities and things like that.
Right. Cause your hands, my hands the first time were like all crinkled up because they were so, so cold. And
yeah,
but it's an amazing practice. And we've translated it into doing, actually I started to do first cold showers in Kundalini yoga, which is the kind of yoga that I teach. It's a practice to do cold showers daily. So I had been doing that already. And then we learned about the cold plunges. And so then we started doing that. And so it's nice to have the daily kind of cold exposure. And it's just amazing what it does for you with, for anxiety, for depression, for just elevating your mood, clearing out your lymphatic system, like, you know, accessing areas that we don't typically access to for healing in, you know, in this extreme way.
And right now we're in the season for it. So it's like, cause it's cold outside. And as long as you're in running water, I mean, you could do it in still water too. You just probably need a hatchet. But we haven't done it the past couple Fridays, but a couple Fridays in a row, we'll just go out into Cirrus Park and go sit in the creek for like,
oh my God.
And then get out and be on with our day.
Yeah.
And it's really lovely in nature. Like it's great to do in the tub, but like to be able to like sit and convene with nature and listen secrets to the secrets that they have. That wasn't even planned.
I love it.
Like we are very big into being out and listening to what the earth has to say. And so it's like being in that environment is beyond. It's just like the most amazing feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you saying?
I was going to say Lexi lives right next to Wissahickon, so maybe we should just walk over there. Oh, with like crazy people just going for a swim.
Yeah, do it. We'll meet you. Let's do it.
It helps to do it in a group too. Like Kristen was saying, we're a part of a group, which we haven't gotten to do many of the dips that they all do together. It's like every other Sunday, but shout out to Ice Women of New Jersey who are out there dipping all the time too.
Is that like an organization? Ice Women of New Jersey?
Yeah, basically it's a few friends that had done the Wim Hof workshop, and I think they learned about ice women. There's like ice women community all over the world of women that dip. And so Abby started the group and started doing group dips. I think it was last November.
Yeah.
November
2020.
So they've been doing it for about a year and a half, and the season goes from November to March because that's, you know, when it's coldest outside. So the water's actually cold. Mm-hmm. And like with dip in Batstow and other areas that I don't know that we can be public about.
A lot of these are like not allowed to dip in them kind of places, but we just sort of like, you're going in for 2 minutes or 5 minutes and you're out. Not a big deal.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's a lot easier to do when you're with people that are like hyping you up and like, you got
100%.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely. Like, is when you go in with group consciousness and community, you know, it's like, you're all there to support each other. So even if there's like, if you see yourself as like the weakest link, if you want to call it that, you're not really, but if you see it that way, there's still somebody there who has like done it a bunch of times. And even they feel uncomfortable and like, you know, you could have done this 1,000 times and it still is, you're training your body to go into this. You're, you know, to go into something that it doesn't want to do. So it's cool. The group is definitely what's up.
It's how you have a lot of the same people that kind of show up for those things, or do you ever get people that it's like totally out of their comfort zone? They've never done anything like it.
Yeah. I think it's mostly that.
Yeah.
When's your next one?
we'll do it again. We'll probably do it again when the weather's a little warm because it does bring in a fair amount of people, and we just the amount of space we have, it works out better outside. So
And with the last one, since it was so cold, we had to use her studio for the breathing and it was a little packed in there.
Yeah.
And then we did the dip out back. So in the spring, hopefully we can do it again and we'll do it all out back.
Yes. Well, I'll be looking out for the date of it. I'll be there. I know I actually just was listening to a podcast about breath work and they were talking about Wim Hof and how that was it's very much like a performance enhancing thing with him and his breath work. But then like also there's like the side of breath work that's like when you're in that state, it's much easier to like connect to your intuition and like listen to what any messages your body might have for you. Do you guys kind of see both sides of that in the practice?
Absolutely. And yeah, because I think like both of our yoga, because we teach a lot more of like the Western or the Eastern style of yoga and not as much Western. We try to focus on the, like the roots of it, where it's coming from and like all that. So both of us really focus on breath within our own practices and what we offer. So knowing the multiple benefits of all, like, I mean, there's hundreds of, and if not thousands of different pranayama practices that you can do. And so I would definitely say that when you practice like the Wim, because it's funny, you said like the cold showers are what brought you in and the breath is what brought me in. Mm-hmm. Like my husband had been practicing Wim Hof for years. And so he finally got me into doing just the breath work stuff. And we would do the breath work stuff together. And I recommend breath over meditation a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it's like giving your brain something to focus on. It's probably a lot easier to stay on track.
It is. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of what it is, I mean, it's all brain retraining. You know, I mean, we're dabblers, like the two of us. We definitely like, if you do, the more you talk to us, the more you realize we're like, yeah, we do this, because we want to like, it's not like a hacking thing. It's more of like an optimization. Like we know that these little machines that we're walking around in can be optimal. So like, We follow another guy that we really appreciate, who's a neuroscientist, Andrew Huberman, and he talks about like neuroplasticity and how you can literally retrain your brain to have this optimal life.
Yes, like take the the current pathways that you use. I also listened to a podcast about this recently. She was talking about how like you use the same pathways in your brain every day, and you can literally train your brain to like create new ones.
Yep.
And it's just so, and
you can shrink the old ones so that you don't do the same patterns all the time, because they become like super highways. And then you can bring them down into like little country roads, and then so then your brain's full of like little country roads instead of these super highways that are like constantly like, I gotta do this, I gotta go here, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta da, 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 da. And so that you can like literally just calm it down and bring yourself into a little bit more of the rest and digest, right? So you're working with your autonomic nervous system and you're helping to, again, optimal life.
So tell me about like, you just did a Wim Hof workshop, you did the breath work, you dipped, I love that you call it like you guys dipped. What is that, like describe what that feels like what's going on in your brain, what sensations are in your body, like how connected do you feel? Like, I wanna hear about it.
We're both trying to get there, I
think.
We're like, yeah, that's fine.
Our bodies. Yeah. I think like, you know, you just feel high, right? Like, but it's like the best kind of high, because it's not coming from anything other than what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. Your mood is elevated, or I should say my mood is elevated. I'm feeling, like you want to come at me with something, like is bad news coming my way? I can take it. Like now is the moment where I can take it, because I'm going to be able to process it and handle it like in the way that is most productive for me. It's not going to like come at me and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, man, you know, get into that like negative storyline, which it can come to, you know. Your body feels lighter, feels feels stronger. Feeling, you know, I feel like anytime I do something where like the cold water especially makes me feel invincible, because you look back and you're like, I just freaking sat in that tub for 5 minutes and like it didn't kill me. When, you know, I think about it like 5 years ago, if I had gotten into that tub or looked at getting into that tub, I'd be like, no way in hell am I going to put my body in freezing cold water like that. You're nuts. But then you do it and you just kind of feel invincible. And yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep saying the word elevated because it just keeps coming up, but it's just like, you just feel elevated out of the doldrums, like not in that like depressed state, you know,
yeah.
Which I know so many people are familiar with, and I am definitely no stranger to it. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. And I think like sensation wise, like you get like a little tingly, it's like, you're aware of your body more than you've maybe been aware of it possibly ever when you do it. And when you can like literally install into, cause you know, we're just little light beings walking around with these little meat suits. Right. So it's like when you can finally like get into the meat suit and like really start to be like, oh wow, I have hands. I have like, right. You can really just like be
drop as into your body
possible. Yeah. And like, so you can't like, it's like, you'll get like the little pins and needles in your extremities. Mm-hmm. And like, you just, you feel, you want to say that you feel uncomfortable, but there's it like the level of comfort, the level of like exuberance outweighs the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm not saying that it doesn't, it, like, there isn't like a little bit of like, oh God, okay, I'm a little freezing. Okay. But that is like, so you're just like, yes, like you can take on the world.
Yeah,
for sure. Mm-hmm. In that moment. Like our hike to the dip is definitely a lot less exciting than our hike away from the dip. Like yeah. When we get into the dip, we're like, okay, here we go.
Right.
All right. We're going to get in. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in and then you're out and you're doing the horse stance and you're, you know, moving your body back and forth, you get dressed. And as you're walking back, it's like the trees are greener, the like everything around you is just so much more present. Like mm-hmm. you are present and you become a part of, you recognize how you are connected with everything around you.
It's mm-hmm. insane. It's insane, like number one, what our bodies are capable of.
Yep.
And number two, just like, it's like you're restoring yourself back to how we were like meant to feel, but like the world just makes us feel like so much lower than that every day. Yeah, you know,
exactly. You get to be in it and experience it instead of being like meshed into it. Like instead of like becoming like a ball, you actually are able to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to like drop into your body. Like even when I'm trying meditation or something,
it's hard.
Yeah.
My mind's just like all over the place. I'm like, just be present, but it's hard.
Yeah. Meditation is like the, in my opinion, for my present, my practice is never the way I can get into my body. Like I have to go do movement, running, like walking meditation is really good for that, or mm-hmm. dancing, or like things that are like literally like this, are these are my arms, this is my leg. Like I have to like do that. Cause if I just sit, like, and I've done many, many different types of meditation and sitting and whatever, it doesn't, it's not like an in the body thing. So if you struggle with that, you
know, I can't like that.
Yeah, I would say.
I feel like meditation is better, or can be better for just like quieting, but not necessarily connecting. You know?
100%.
Yeah. Like in Kundalini, we do it at the end of practice. So you'll have like your movement part in the beginning, and then at the end of practice is when you're doing meditation. So it's like once you're connected to your body, then you can start to like drop into the presence of that meditation can help, right?
Yeah. And that's what yoga is even supposed to be. Like in Hatha yoga, that's what you're supposed to do. Like the,
right.
The postures themselves, the asanas are there to prepare your body for sitting for meditation.
Right.
Like if you look at the eight limbs of yoga, the first three limbs aren't, or the first two limbs aren't even asana. You know what I mean? It's like boop, boop, boop. And then you go to asana and then pranayama. And then you do the meditation part, which are the last mm-hmm. couple to get you to the samadhi. So it's like,
I was just gonna say, like, I find it so much easier to do meditation after like a yoga class.
Yeah,
absolutely. Or after just going to the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exert the energy first and then you can settle in.
Right. Cause then you're in your body.
I also feel like, and this might be wrong, but as women specifically, like I feel like meditation and being in your mind and like the ascension aspect of it, that's great, but it's like very masculine.
Totally.
And like the feminine side of it is very much like dropping into your body and being connected in that way. So I think both are equally important for sure.
100%. Yeah.
So I love the Elevate Your Life like tagline. That's like a really great way to describe your shop and your workshops and everything. So we talked about the Wim Hof workshop. What kind of other workshops have helped people elevate their lives?
Well, the one that you were mentioning, the aura photographer.
Oh, yes.
Sarah Silverstein, inner aura, inner light aura.
Inner light aura
is what her Instagram is. She's amazing. Her energy is just like, I mean, everyone that came in was just like so settled by her energy. She's done, you know, a lot of work on herself and whatnot. And then the practice of having like a photo of your aura, I can speak from my personal experience. Like I thought my aura was going to be like bright and, you know, high vibe colors and stuff because of the work that we do. And I went first that day and she unveiled my picture and I was so excited. And I was like, oh my gosh, it looks so great. And she gave me my downloads. And she's like, you're a little sleepy, you know, you need to do this and that. And like, gave me kind of the reading that went with it. And then progressively throughout the day, I was looking at other photos and everyone's auras were brighter than mine. Like literally mine was the dullest of the day. And then, so it made me realize that like, yes, I'm a little sleepy. Like I need to take care of myself better. I need to like focus on different things. And ever since I had that photo done, I have made sure to have some kind of self-care in my, I'm a single mom of two. So like, you know, it's all on me a lot. So I made sure every single day to have like some form of self-care in my life and really like realize how much I wasn't taking care of myself. So it's a cool thing to have a picture of your aura. Yes. But then it's also like super informative for like, you know, what you're doing or not doing. And her reading of the aura is really, really powerful too. And you get to pull a card. So there's like fun with that. And
that's so interesting. It's really interesting that you say that. We actually just chatted about auras a few episodes ago and we were doing like a little bit of research. We like realized like, oh, your aura is always changing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's so interesting that you bring that up because you had these expectations of what you thought your aura would look like, but really just like whether or not you took care of yourself that morning depicted how it looked. What camera is picking up an aura? I need to know.
So Sarah, you should definitely have her on. I can connect you if you want to, because she can talk more about it. Yeah, definitely. But it's like this camera where you put your hand on these sensors and you have to press down on them. And then it's picking up your electromagnetic waves, your frequencies. And then it's a Polaroid. I don't know exactly. It's a special camera. I think she got it like specially made and like, I don't know exactly, you know, the mechanics and how it all works, but I know the sensors like help to pick up your electromagnetic waves.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Your field. Yeah.
And it's just your hands that goes on it. Gotcha. Wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So because you got your aura photo taken, it like inspired you to make like life changes, like start taking care of yourself every day. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it really like, it was like a mirror, like literally a mirror, because I'm looking at a picture of myself that, you know, reflected something back to me that I can't see. I don't see auras. I'm not, you know, that woke. So like, I can't see my aura every day. So it gave me like this visual to see like how, you know, depleted I really was. So it was definitely eye opening.
Yeah, it's interesting how like your brain can be thinking like, oh, I'm good. Like this is gonna be great. And then actually you're really tired, or maybe you're like depressed or whatever it is, and like you don't even realize it,
or you're just not giving yourself the attention that you deserve.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, just being depleted, you know, being a single mom, I'm giving all the time. It's just obviously I'm doing my job, you know,
right?
But I wasn't doing my job, and that I wasn't also giving that to myself. So now I do.
Awesome. Yeah. And mine, it was pretty cool just because, it was interesting because we have similar auras because we spend so much time together. So she said that like two people, when they spend a large amount of time together, their auras are going to look similar.
That's interesting.
Mine was a little bit brighter, but like the thing that was really interesting for me is that I had purple on my heart. So you could even like, there are its abilities to be able to like see your chakra aura, like what,
so it's not just like the outline of your body.
It is, but it's also like if there's something happening within, then it'll like my heart chakra was purple instead of green, which it's intended to be if you pay attention to that sort of thing.
Yes.
And her advice was like, do some things to take care of your heart. And at the time I was having these like little heart flutters and like a lot of anxiety, a lot more anxiety than I normally experience. So like I have then taken that to like, I stopped drinking caffeine. I've been doing more things to like, make sure I get out and take my walks and my runs every day to like really actually focus on the physical parts of my heart. And I want to, she's going to come back in next month. And I really want to like get another picture so I can see if my heart got to be a little less purple, at least, you know, like knowing that this stuff isn't necessarily going to happen overnight, but if I'm putting an effort towards something, so you can literally see like physical things that need to be fixed, or not fixed, but like elevated, changed, transmutated. Yeah. Just kind of helped a little bit.
And also, who needs caffeine when you're doing Wim Hof?
Yeah, 100% right. Yes.
I just love the idea of like alternative ways of seeing a problem rather than like going to the doctor and having them tell you, or like the Western traditional ways of like finding a problem. Like I started going to a girl who does muscle testing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Or like an aura photo. That's so fascinating. So
yeah. You asked about other things that we've done too. And this past weekend we had an Elevate Yourself Day. And so it was like for Galentine's, it was our event on Sunday.
Oh, I love where it.
We had, Kristen taught 15 minutes of breath work and I taught, or not taught, I did 15 minutes of Reiki because we're both Reiki attuned as well. And then we had another friend of ours, Lindsay, who came in to do crystal healing. So they got 45 minutes of self-care with breath work, Reiki, and crystal healing. And everybody got a little swag bag, which was great too. So,
yeah.
You know, we do little self-care days like that too. And we got really good feedback for that as well. And I think Harley, who works in the store, she said everybody that left that day just like left like blissed out. They were
lovely.
So I think we'll probably bring that back again at some point in the next few months too.
Yeah.
I'll have to keep an eye out for that
because that's how sure.
You guys are the hot spot in the South Jersey area because like I said, not a whole lot of that going on.
Yeah.
So I would love to dive into the name of your shop and what it means. So you guys are the Alchemical Sisters. And I would love to dive in. I got this from your website. You're all about having everyone learn to be the alchemists of their own lives. Mm-hmm. So I would love to dive into that and what that means for you guys.
All right. Yeah. So, well, originally it's really funny. So we first started talking about like a couple years ago. This is pre-pandemic, right? So let's say 2018, around that area, it was like, let's open a juice bar. Let's do this. Like we know we've always wanted to do something together, but we haven't quite figured out what that was going to be. And so, and then we were like, let's do a podcast, which we have yet to do. Still in the like in the ethers. I don't think it's gone anywhere yet, but that, and so through that, we came up with the name Alchemical Sisters because we both are, you know, practitioners of alchemy in some kind of way. So like alchemy is basically taking something ordinary and making it extraordinary, right? So there's a band called the Chemical Brothers. And so we took that name and we switched it around and we were like, how about the Alchemical Sisters? Because we were going to have our podcast and our last name was Brock. So it was going to be Brock Rock and Beats, which is an Alchemical Sisters song or Chemical Brothers song. Yeah, it all goes together. So it kind of like, cause we, again, don't take ourselves very seriously at the same time. And as I say this, I'm like, this sounds ridiculous, but it's kind of where it came from. It was just like, wouldn't it be hilarious if it was like a play on the Chemical Brothers, but then we can create this situation where we are actual sisters and we can help people within their own alchemy and recognizing that you might see your life as ordinary, but through things that don't even have to cost anything. Do we want us to shop in our store? Yeah, we want you to come and buy things, but there are all these other ways in which you can alchemize your own life and literally create your own experience and make it from ordinary to extraordinary. Right. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this like glamorous thing. It can be as glamorous as you want it to be.
You make it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's like, you know, everybody has a story of where they came from and all of the things that they've gone through. And, you know, do you want to take that story and carry it along with you as a burden? Or do you want to use that to fuel the fire of transformation to become what you want to be? You know, it's like, that's the alchemy of it all. You know, if you have suffered from depression, do you want to stay depressed forever? Or do you want to take that experience of depression and turn it into something that is going to serve you in your life, you know? So it's like the products that we sell here, it's all like bringing together things that could be nothing and then like creating them into something that is going to help you in your life. It's like, I mean, you can see alchemy everywhere. It's not just, you know, witches and all the, you know, crazy stuff that people for a long time have avoided.
But it could be that too, though.
It can. There's nothing wrong with all of it.
Yeah.
Right. Still people, there are people that are afraid of like the witchiness of things.
Oh, we could talk. You want to talk 30 minutes about that? We totally can.
Sure. Let's keep talking. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause I mean, I think that there's so much like something that could be considered like witchcraft, but it's not like it, or it is. And
like, it is, but what's wrong with that? Like, what really is witchcraft? Is it what Hollywood's telling you it is? Is it what the Catholic Church is telling you it is? Exactly. Like, not necessarily.
Oh, girl, we could talk for days.
Yeah. 100%. Well, we can. We still got time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. Like, I just think that there's such like a, like you talked about like masculine and feminine and things like that. And I think that there is room for everything, but the patriarchal and puritanical construct that has been the umbrella over our country for since we came here and stole the land, like we 100% have like installed that into the systems. Mm-hmm. And so we're here to alchemize that and to make us, hopefully, to help people to say, no, that's cool. Like, it, you can call it whatever you want to call it. You know, like when people come in and buy a crystal, they'll say, well, what would I have to do with this? And like, do I have to put it out in the moonlight? Do I have to do that? And I'm like, sure, you can. But my experience with it is different. Like, I look at it and I'm like, okay, this obsidian, I'm going to carry that in my pocket with me today. And that the intention that I place on that is what's good for me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to necessarily, but maybe, you know, my sister might do something else and you might do something else and you might do something else. There's no one right way to do anything. So whatever your experience is, you create that experience for yourself. And so take the, can I curse? Is that okay? Sure. I'm about to be like F word, this, never that, but I won't. So take the patriarchal and the puritanical out of it. And like, what do you want?
Like what feels good for you?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like take the out the word witchcraft, take out the word magic.
You call it, you know, whatever you want. It doesn't have like words where they are very, very valuable and have a huge amount of meaning don't necessarily need to like have to, nothing ever, we don't have to label things. Like that's just, you know, right now we're in a place of, you know, we're in the age of Aquarius moving into that information age. So we want labels for every single thing. But we don't have to have that. We can connect into our, how does it feel within you?
Yeah, right. It can be overwhelming. Like connect. All the information that's out there. Like this is how you do this. And this is how you do that.
Oh, I know.
And you feel like you have to like learn all these things and know all this stuff, but really it's like, well, what feels good to you? What, like what you connect with?
Yeah. Like creating your own craft.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Who's informing your story?
Right.
Like, how do you, like whose voice is in your head? Is it your parents? Is it your teachers? And like, who is it? Is it never you? Like you need to have your information be from you and not from other people.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Developing your relationship with whatever the practice is. Exactly. And like you said, like, don't let the label stop you from doing a practice just because it's labeled something when it could be beneficial for you, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even like a lot of the words we use now, I just was talking about this with Rachel actually, have such a negative connotation to them. And it's like, well, look at these certain words. And it's like, what did they originally mean? Like the word witch means wise, the word weird meant fate, I think. I even learned recently insane meant like in health. That's what that used to mean.
Yeah, same. But yeah, right.
So fascinating to think like labels like have changed over time. So they essentially like mean nothing because they can just change like that.
Right,
so
right.
I love that. Whatever feels good for you. And the Alchemical Sisters is the most mystical sounding title. I love it so much. It's like the psychic twins or like the weird sisters from Shakespeare. I love it so much.
Right, yeah.
It actually would be a good name.
Or a podcast name. Yeah. You could do anything with that name.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We're trying to.
Yeah. We're trying to start small, but slowly we want to get real big.
So. Yeah. Like there's no way we'll be happy just being, I mean, we love our store obviously, but like there's so much more that we want to offer that, you know, the store is a good grounder for, but we're going to develop our store. Will have many arms in the future for sure.
Right. Exactly.
I love it. I can't wait to see where it goes. And I like, remember, I'm glad you told me what alchemy was like from your own perspective, just because like I read The Alchemist in high school. I had to read it and I don't even remember it. I'm like, I don't even know what an alchemist is or what alchemy is. And I love the way you described it was beautiful. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, alchemy essentially is like, it's the original pharmacy. Like they're literally like it's science before science in a lot of ways. And read The Alchemist again and again.
100%.
I have it actually. So I should read it.
It is an amazing
quick, easy read. Read it many, many times.
I wish I read The Alchemist in high school.
We didn't appreciate it in high school.
They
know?
They should have gave us like a lesson beforehand. Like, this is what alchemy, because I read it. I was like, what's this? Like, who cares?
Right.
For sure. Yeah,
definitely dive into it again with fresh eyes.
It's for sure. And I love that you said, the original pharmacy, because the original pharmacists were probably the witches. So
exactly.
You're magicians and witches. It's like really where it came from, you know? Yeah. Like, and I think the word witch is like you said, it's wise, but it's like they created this name for something and then made it be bad because it went against the church, right? So like anything that went against the church was not right and bad and wrong and bad and wrong. And so even for me, like I struggle with the word witch sometimes, where I literally yesterday I was like, you're a green witch, it's okay. I have to just like remind myself that it's okay, because there is a lot of things in my DNA, in my my parents didn't teach me that witchcraft was bad, but society did.
Right. Yeah. We learned all about the Salem witch trials.
Right.
And
exactly.
All that. We read the Scarlet Letter and all
right.
that.
You evolved to be scared of any of being anything remotely close to that.
Yeah, exactly.
When really
it's programmed into us. It's
programmed.
The witch wound. They call that the witch wound.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're programmed to be afraid of your own power.
Yeah.
Essentially what it is. You know,
don't
if you think
for
about
yourself.
It, right, from the power structure of what has been, you know, taught for centuries now, keeping that feminine down and keeping that feminine energy suppressed. And there's just no keeping her suppressed anymore.
No, she is rising
and she's rising in all of us. And, you know, so it is important to heal our witch wound and to embrace, you know, our inner healer and, all of our capabilities, you know, it's all about acclimating your nervous system to be okay with these things and to
creating the new neural pathways. Like,
exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And that's where science and spirituality come together, because we can look and see what the meat suit does and how we can use it. Like, as the computer, you don't accept your computer as itself. Like, you don't get your computer out of the box and you're like, cool, this is it. Or your phone, you know, you add apps and you make it be yours. You change the wallpaper, you change the background, you change the music, you make it your own. You know, why would we accept the computer as it is? It's what we have is such a great learning tool. We can really, we can use it.
And that's why I love that like stores like yours are popping up, like even like Mystic Ginger, not many hair salons like that around.
Exactly.
Love like my conversations with Kelly, speaking of the Salem witch trials, I've wanted to go to Salem like my entire life. And I was talking about it with Kelly and she was like, honestly, I went there and it was like, the energy was horribly depressing. Like, it just, I felt it in my soul, all the horrific things that had happened there. And that had never even occurred to me. I was just like, oh, like, I want to be where the witchy stuff is. Like, I want to, you know, and it never even occurred to me like about like all the horrible energy that had to have like been lingering there, you know?
Sadness and everything else.
I know.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going to visit, I feel like can help to heal that, you know, like when we go and honor what they all, you know, sacrificed their lives for, whether it was willingly or not, you know, we can go and we can help to elevate that energy and heal it. You know,
elevate. I love that key word for you guys.
It's like subconsciously
every day. Yeah,
it's a great word to have in your daily vocabulary. So
definitely.
Yeah, and healing, elevating is healing, basically.
Yeah. I know Kelly from yoga. She used to be a student of mine, and then it was like, she's like, I'm going to open my own salon. And then I was like, okay, you're going to do my hair now. And then I was like, he needs to come too. And this one needs to come. And the next thing you know, we're like friends with everybody and we can't stop. Cause we just have, we're a collective, like we're, you want to call us a coven? Sure. Like whatever. Like, it's like, our arms are building outward.
Yeah. So, and it's so amazing to me that this community is like right in South Jersey, where like I went to high school and I was like, this place sucks. And it's like, this whole community was here, you guys. And I feel like this podcast has slowly become like, we have interviewed so many local businesses, not so many, but like I'm getting ahead of myself, but we've interviewed like local businesses. We interviewed a beekeeper from Pennsylvania, a farmer from Delaware. I like can't say, it just makes me so, it like really fills me up to like be able to have this podcast and like talk to these amazing people that I never would have sat down with otherwise. And like, like I said, like growing up in South Jersey, and it's like this whole community, like everyone we've had on is local, and like we get to support their business. They get to come on and have these juicy conversations with us. And it's just so amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I know we grew up in South Jersey too. We grew up in Richwood, and you know, way earlier than you, I mean, I don't even know if you were born when we were growing up.
We're not going to talk about it.
We're not going to talk about our age difference. But yeah, I mean, I definitely was like, I have to get out of South Jersey. This place sucks. And I came back like 8 years ago and haven't left. So.
Well, because it's like, instead of leaving, you guys were just like, we'll just elevate it. Like you said.
And that's kind of a lot of like why we wanted to open the space. We both love California and like what LA has to offer, you know, because like LA, that's literally the city of angels, is like named for this thing because they say it's such a special place. So we're like, well, why can't we bring all that specialness here?
Yeah.
I love
it. You know, the East Coast, it's hard, man. The East Coast is a hard sell, but we're all humans.
Yeah. And it helps that when you come from here to be able to, you have that like automatic relation where it's like, oh wait, you were from Jersey and you do all these things. You're not just like spacey out in LA and like trying to bring your nonsense over here. It's like, no, like the nonsense is legit and here, let's talk about it.
Right.
You know, and born and raised here. The nonsense is legit. You're keeping it here. It's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
You found like all these other people that
And you're building community.
In the same
That's it. That's the whole purpose.
It's all about building community. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think as I get older, I realize that like it's not really where you live. It's like
what you make of where you
like live. Who you know and like your friends and community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not to say, you know, you shouldn't pursue living in a beautiful place that you like would long to live in. You know, I'm a big fan of while you're young, go do things, live in different places, experience things. And, you know, home is always there too. You know, I left, I went to school in Virginia when I went to college, and then I stayed like Virginia and Maryland and DC area. I stayed there for like, I don't know, 8 years or something like that after college. And then, you know, I needed to gain a different perspective of what home was, and then moved back home and, you know, slowly started to do more and more of those things, and found really like that home was a physical place, but home really is like how you are inside of your body, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I went on a tangent there, but
no, I loved it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you ladies so much. This was an amazing interview. I can't thank you enough for carving the time out of your day.
I just wanted to ask you about your yoga studio.
Oh yeah.
I'm not really kidding.
Yeah, sure. So we have a yoga studio that is right next to Mythic Inc. It's 5 North Broadway.
Okay. Yeah. So it's right near your shop.
It's right near my shop. Yeah. And it's called Seeds of Love Yoga. So the outside of the building actually has my name on it, because through pandemic, I transferred the studio into just a private studio where I do teacher trainings and private yoga sessions. But we are now back open as a full on yoga studio. We have 10 classes a week right now, building every day, because we're just slowly rebuilding after pandemic. But we've been in it, we're a nonprofit organization. So we bring yoga to whoever needs it. So all of our classes are $10 suggested donation. You put your money in a jar. We handle no money whatsoever. So it's like, if you're not putting any money in, nobody knows. And if you're putting only $5 in, nobody knows. It doesn't matter. The practice is what's important. So where we are is, we have, like I said, like 10 classes on the schedule. Lisa teaches a Kundalini class. She also teaches a breath class on Friday mornings. I teach a focus, which is like a meditation, but it's breath awareness meditation. So it's basically breath work. And then the rest of the week, we do vinyasa flow. We do beginner classes and all kinds of different stuff. And it's literally there. It's kind of like, you know, we started with Seeds of Love in 2018. And then this kind of like came from that as well. So it's like everything sort of touches the other thing in some way. And I mean, we're just like any other yoga studio, but we definitely bring in more of the Eastern philosophy in. We don't practice yoga to work out. I always talk about yoga as the side effect, like the workout's the side effect. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, you might get nice muscles and you might feel really good and you might like, you know, lose a little weight or whatever it is that your goal is, but you're focusing on your breath, quieting your mind, and you're being within the practice. So we try to keep costs low for people who can't necessarily swing it. Yoga is really expensive in a lot of places, and it makes it not accessible to a lot of people. So that's why it's like, just come. All we ever want is for people to just come.
Just show up.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Show up
for yourself. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cause I work from home and I like need to get myself out of the house and I need to like decompress after like work. And I've just started like going to yoga classes again and it's been really nice. So I'm going to have to check it out.
And like, you know, no matter where you go, I heard it on a Yoga Girl podcast so many years ago. She was talking about how like there's two different studios on Aruba and the one woman was like really nervous because she was open. The other, you know, Yoga Girl was opening a studio and she was like, you know, there's not going to be enough for everybody, but there always is. I can only fit 10 people in my yoga studio. So at a time, I can only put 10 people at a time into my classes. You know, Yoga Inspired, which is right down the street, can fit 20 people. I don't even know how many, but I'm guessing, you know, so that's only 30 people out of 4,000 people that live in Pittman, you know, 4,000 homes that are in Pittman. So it's like, how can you possibly think that like, and I might not be your teacher, at least I might not be your teacher, but maybe we are, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that everybody should practice yoga. So we just want to make the space for people to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds great. I love that.
Well, please let everyone know where they can find you online, social media, and like physically in the world.
So we are at Alchemical Sisters on Instagram. Alchemical Sisters on Facebook. I don't even know what our TikTok is. It's how much we use it.
Alchemical Sisters.
Alchemical Sisters. Yeah. We have it and we have intentions of being more present on there. We just aren't yet.
Yeah.
And I am personally Breathe and Glow, breathe_n_glow on Instagram. So, you know, I don't post a whole lot other than like my family and little things that I do here and there, but I do offer Reiki sessions and private Kundalini yoga sessions. So that's a good way to get in touch with me if you're interested in that. What are yours?
So Seeds of Love is at Seeds of Love Yoga and it's seedsoflovyoga.org on the website. And my personal Insta or my yoga Insta, you should say, is k.b.h.y. And that's Instagram as well. So yeah. And KristenBHarris.com.
Yeah.
And that's where I do teacher trainings and stuff like that too.
And you have a teacher training coming up.
I do, April. Yeah. We're enrolling right now for April teacher training. So if anybody's interested in learning how to be a yoga teacher.
Awesome. Well, thank you ladies so much. This is the juiciest conversation. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to the next time I'm in your shop and I'm looking forward to another conversation, maybe in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Love it. Thank you ladies so much.
Thank you.
You all are doing such an amazing thing, introducing all of these things and keep doing what you're doing, fighting the good fight.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Killing it.